just got through listening to Wuthering Heights and I'm already a blubbering, sobbing mess. This is one of the songs that never, ever, ever, ever fails to make me cry. It's number one in the list. Number one, you have to admit. GWA Backstage, this is your over-analytical song ranter, Tark, here, with another impromptu song rant. Yeah, and this is me recovering from being a blubbering mess from listening to one of my favorite Kate Bush songs ever. I mean, she's got a lot of songs that sort of, you know, have so much of an emotional connection to. Oh god, I'm sorry. I'm a mess right now, so you might have to excuse that. Okay, so yeah, like I said, this is a bit of an impromptu song rant because I just got through listening to one of Kate Bush's best songs ever. No. Her best song yet, I think. And I think every Kate Bush thing, well, not every Kate Bush fan, but, you know, most Kate Bush fans would think, hey, Wuthering Heights is her best song ever. I agree so damn much. And this is just from her first album. And think of it this way. You gotta think of it this way. She was not but 19, 20 years old at the time when she released the song and wrote it. And, you know, and I'm in awe. I mean, not many... people in their late teens or early 20s can come up with something that beautiful, something that'll bring a tear to your eye. And I think Wuthering Heights is one of them. It's, oh God, it's so poignant and so haunting that you just can't help but be moved to tears. You just can't. All right, so, I wanted to discuss this song because I am in awe of it. I am very much in awe of it. Like, all of her other songs, they've got a very strong emotional connection to it. And I don't know, it's just, and the emotion, and the way she conveys that emotion in the song, it's like, it's kind of hard not to get wrapped up in it, you know? And I can't say that for many people that I've listened to. Now, I can say that for Jeff Buckley. Ooh. Now, that's another singer, that's another songwriter that, or any singer, he could do like a cover of Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah. That brought me to tears. Oh, I was a blubbering. Oh, gosh. This is gonna be me just trying my best not to cry. But no, let's sort of drag yourself out of that pitiful, cryy mood. Okay, come on, Tark. Pull yourself together. Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, so anyway, yeah, Jeff Buckley, that's another singer. When you hear his voice, instant waterworks, because it's so poignant. His voice is so haunting and so pure. I think his voice was just like, oh, one of the most angelic voices I've ever heard in all my life. I wish he was still alive. I really, really, truly still, I really wish he would still be alive so I could hear more of that. It's, I don't know. It's weird. But Kate Bush, she still got that voice of gold. And her voice sort of, I liked how earlier her voice was like really, really high, but then it's kind of gotten down to almost like a mezzo soprano almost. And she still got it. She still has it. She still has that beautiful voice that I've always, you know, yeah. And so, okay, Tark. Focus. Okay, so Wuthering Heights. Yes, that's the song we're gonna rant about. And here I have my Pepsi Max to keep me stable throughout all this. Okay. Anyways. Alright, Wuthering Heights. This song. This song is obviously based off of Emily Bronte's novel called, of course, Wuthering Heights. And it involves the two characters, Heathcliff and Catherine, or Kathy. And this song is basically about the ghost of Catherine visiting Heathcliff's window. It's like the spirit of Catherine trying to get through to Heathcliff. That's basically what it is. So, how about we just start off with the lyrics? Like so. Okay, like we always do. Alright. So we're going to read through the lyrics, and I'm actually excited about this. Okay. Out on the wily, windy moors, weed roll and fall in green. You had a temper like my jealousy, too hot, too greedy. So basically, that it's telling of a relationship that was sort of hot and cold. Because Catherine and Heathcliff, they were former lovers. And both of their tempers, well, she said, you had a temper like my jealousy, too hot, too greedy. It's meaning that his temper was just as bad, if not worse, than her jealousy, because it's intense. How could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too. Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's just like a love-hate relationship. Yes. It's sort of like the feeling of saying, you left me and I hate you for it, but I still really, really love you. Yes. Bad dreams in the night, they told me I was going to lose the fight. Leave behind my wuthering heights. So, the bad dreams. See, this is sort of hard for me to explain the lyrics because let me just admit something right now. And I know you people are going to be mad at me for this. One, okay, let's see if I can attract an angry mob in 3, 2, 1. I've never read Wuthering Heights, ever. I should have, but I never got around to it. Damn it. Now I feel bad. I feel so bad. Because I'm reading the lyrics, and I get the feeling that I should have some sort of idea of what it is. And all I could chalk it up is to unrequited love. Unrequited love, because Catherine loved this Heathcliff so much. And he was so oblivious to it. Heathcliff, it's me. I'm Kathy. I've come home. I'm so cold. Let me in through your window. I thought it was let me in your window. Let me in your window. Oh, well, she's saying it. Let me in your window. Oh. See, I'm not in the mood to sing high right now. So, I thought it was in your window, but I'm looking at this and say, let me in through your window. That don't sound right. All right, on to the second verse. I can't read. Okay. Ooh, it gets dark. Ooh, I almost sung there. Ooh, it gets dark. It's get lonely. My grammar needs work extensively. That's not part of the lyrics anyway. Ooh, it gets dark. Like I mentioned before, it gets lonely on the other side from you. So this indicates that she's dead on the other side from you. I pine a lot. I find the lot falls through without you. I'm coming back, love. Cruel Heathcliff, my one dream, my only master. Now, this made me think of something because I've seen the video, one of the videos to the song, where Kate Bush, she did this sort of motion with her hands, like her hands are bind. It says, my only master. To be honest, I found that pretty hot, to be quite honest. Anyway, so not only, I think, again, I haven't read the novel, so I may break a muscle reaching, okay? excuse me. So, not only was Heathcliff the love of Catherine's life, he was sort of like a master, I think. Yeah, says it right there, my only master. Too long I roam in the night, I'm coming back to his side to put it right. I'm coming home to Wuthering, Wuthering, Wuthering Heights from the dead. Kathy! So, I should have known better with a girl like you. Come on, Tark, focus, focus. Okay, so she's saying that she's gonna go back to Wuthering Heights to make the relationship the way it was before it fell apart. Obvious. And then we got the repeat of the chorus. Heathcliff, it's me, I'm Kathy. Come home, I'm so close. Let me in your window. Let me in through your window. I say it's let me in your window. I think it sounds better with let me in your window. I've always heard it as let me in your window. Ooh, let me have it. Let me grab your soul away. Let me have it. Let me grab your soul away. You know it's me, Kathy. So I think she's beckoning him to come to the other side, maybe? Oh, that's dark. That is so dark. Yes. Oh, gosh. That is very haunting. I got chills just thinking about it. Just thinking of the bridge being sung the way it is. And then, you know, it's oh, God. Oh, God. This is going to have, there's going to be a lot of moments where I am going to break down crying eventually. Because this song is too beautiful for its own good. That's the problem. It's too beautiful. It's too haunting. Oh my God, I need another swig of Pepsi. I think I'm good. Okay, for right now. I'm okay for right now. Oh, excuse me. But the lyrics here, it kind of tells back to where they used to be friends. They would play in the moors up until the point where they started to become lovers, and then the relationship fell apart, and she died, and she's beckoning him from the other side, outside his window. Basically what the song is about, and I've said basically more than 1,000 times already. I apologize so much. Yeah, we already discussed the lyrics. I think we're just gonna it boils down to being about unrequited love, a relationship gone wrong, and the ghost of the ex-lover calling to him to come to the window and let her in. Or at least just come to the other side with her. That's all it is, really. And see, what makes it so haunting, so much more haunting, is the music. It's so wistful. It's very dreamy, but all the same, it has that strength. It has like a something to it that I can't quite put my finger on, really. And yeah, this song leaves me speechless. The music, the piano. Oh, the strings, the strings. I am a sucker for strings. 'Cause if I ever hear an orchestra, strings in it, oh, this is a sign that tells me, Tarky, you're gonna cry. You are gonna cry to this song. You are. And I did. I did, God damn it, my emotions are so fragile. I get stirred so easily by music. It's ridiculous. I cry so easily to music. See, this is why, this is one of the reasons why I really love music, is because I find myself having a very strong emotional connection to music, and many people don't understand that. 'Cause if I start crying in a song that I think it's beautiful, they're gonna be like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" I'm like, "Listen! Listen! Just listen to the song and you'll see why. You'll be blubbering too, I promise you. How can you not listen to the song and not have a dry eye? I mean, let me rephrase that. How can you listen to this song and finish it with a dry eye? You just can't. You can't. This song is so, oh, so poignant, so beautiful. Like I said many times, haunting. It's haunting the way it should be, because it signifies a ghostly ex-lover coming to haunt the guy. And come to the other side with her. Tell him to come to the other side with her. Let me grab your soul away. Ooh, that gives me chills just thinking about the bridge, the way it's sung, the way the music is there. It's just it brings tears to my eyes and it leaves goosebumps all over my skin. That's one of the best parts of the song. That middle eight, the "let me grab your soul away." You know it's me, Kathy. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And how they wrapped it up and went straight back into the chorus. It's just, oh my God. Oh my God. It's just, it touches me right here, right right here. Oh, God. It's just really great. And then you got, towards the end of the song, you have the guitar coming through. And, oh, God. I thought it was really beautiful, too. Although, I have to say, huh. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that the guitar solo was by Ian Barnston. And he is one of the guitar players from the Alan Parsons Project. Yeah, some of the members from the Alan Parsons Project played on The Kick Inside, which I failed to mention that that was the name of the album which Wuthering Heights was from. And some of Alan Parsons' band members, they played on that album as well as this song. And I've just read somewhere that their engineer said that he regretted not placing the solo louder in the mix. I thought it was okay the way it is. Yeah, I mean, although I have to agree with him, you could just turn it up just a smidgen. And it would be pretty good. But I thought it was good the way it is. The guitar solo being somewhat not in the center, but loud enough so you can hear it. You can hear it. All right. And let's go on to my favorite subject, the vocals. Of course. See, this is, I shall preface this. I don't mention it a lot, but this is where I get the most excited, is when I talk about the vocals. And see, this is Baby Kate we're talking about. We're talking about Baby Kate and how her voice, like I said, it fits the song. She wrote it, duh, but you know what I mean? It fits the subject of the song and where her voice kind of possesses a sort of a banshee-like kind of vocal, where her voice is sort of almost fairy-like, I think. And it very much matches the lyrics. It matches the wistfulness. It matches the haunting. It's just... Because she's singing in the spirit of Catherine. That's basically what it is. She's singing in this very high soprano voice. And that's what makes the song the way it is. And I really do like that her voice sounds very pure. It sounds almost, you know, too pure. Because that... That's one of the reasons why this song makes me cry, is because her voice is pure. I don't hear one sour note. Not one. And her voice, the way it is, how high she's singing, I'm surprised. It's just, well, I'm not surprised really, but her voice fits the character in the song. It's supposed to be attention grabbing. It's supposed to be haunting. It's supposed to be eerie almost. It's like, yeah, I don't think I've mentioned this, but her voice has sort of an eerie quality to it in this song, as it should be, because, like I've said, this is sung in the point of view of a ghostly ex-lover, Catherine from Wuthering Heights, and that was a really good direction to take it, I thought, and Let's see. Because she's singing high enough to try and get the attention of Heathcliff so he can let her in his window. Yeah, and now I did, however, get through listening to the other version of Wuthering Heights where Kate, she re-recorded her vocals for her her compilation album called The Whole Story. Now, okay, let's draw comparisons, shall we? Okay, so the original version, her original vocals on there, they're more of a, like, of a... Now, that's another thing, there's another thing I failed to mention. Her voice in the original Wuthering Heights was more of a sprightly, innocent tone to it. But yet, it still maintains that haunting feeling to it. Now, the vocals that she re-recorded for The Whole Story, I think around 1986, her voice sort of deepened in about, like, it's from the last 8 years that she recorded the song, 8 years ago. So her voice is, has she, her voice has more of a mature sort of tone to it. Her voice has more control around the time she re-recorded the vocals, and to me it kind of lost a little bit of that haunting quality. But still, it's still so beautiful. You can't deny that. Her voice is beyond beautiful. Kate, her voice is, it warms the cockles of my heart. It does. There's just something so unique about her voice. She could sing crazy, she could sing soft, she could, you know, she's, her voice, it goes all over the place, I think. And it's, I don't know, I'm sort of torn between the two versions, her 1978 vocals or her 1986 vocals. I thought they were really good, but let me tell you, I like the way she kind of ad-libs towards the end in the 1986 version of Wuthering Heights. Her voice is, you could tell her voice has gained a little bit more control and a little bit more, I could sense that she has more confidence in her vocals around the 1986 version of Wuthering Heights. Because she, even though it doesn't have that same eerie quality like the 1978 vocals do, it's still beautiful all the same. She still carries the message home to describe how the ghostly ex-lover wants Heathcliff to let her in, and yeah. But I kind of sense that her voice has deepened over the past 8 years prior to recording and writing the song The Wuthering Heights. And that's an 8-year difference from the 1978 one to the 1986 one. Because one is sort of like, there's this young innocence to it. And 1986, her voice has gotten more mature. And more, there's more depth to it. But she still sings as high as she did before. And holy fuck, does she blow it away. That is amazing. That is beyond amazing. Oh god, this song has given me so many, so many feels. It's not even funny. It's just, I've spent all this time not telling any jokes, not doing this, not, because this song is nothing to joke about, I think. This is not, it's not anything to joke about, really, because this song is beautiful. What is there to joke about? This song is beautiful. Bella, you know, oh my gosh, that song always never, almost never fails to bring a tear to my eye. Because, yeah, a while ago when I was listening to it, oh gosh, by the end of the song, I was in dire need of some tissues because I was crying. See, that's the problem with me. Whenever I hear a beautiful song, there go the waterworks. And I'm done for. I am so done for. See, now, to sum it all up, between the two versions, the original vocal version and the re-recorded vocal version, they're both great in their own right. It's just that there's more of a haunting quality to it in the original than it is in the 1986 version, where there's a lot of reverb in the 1986 version, and there's a lot more ad-libs to it. And her voice has gotten stronger over the years. Like I said, more mature, more depth, more strength. You get the idea. And they're both good in their own right. They're very good in their own right. It's just one's different than the other. That's all it is. Alright, so I think I've ranted enough for this. I guess this is my most... I think this is my most serious song rant I've ever done. And... although there was some laughter, but it's just that song. It's one of those songs where you have to really look into it. You can't joke about it. You can't laugh about it. You have to really look into it. Really listen to it to get that sort of that same emotional connection to it like I do. 'Cause I swear, that song will bring a tear to your eye. If you have not listened to it, go listen to it. It is so good. So, so good. Alright, well, I need to wrap this up because I am dying to go listen to it again. Oh, I never get tired of that song, even though it makes me cry like a motherfucker. So, yeah. Alright. Tarkus Trooper, signing out.